want. The two parshas have a lot in common. They're both, this mamad and this putting Moshe Rabbeinu on the spot. It's uncharted territory. You know, the Rabbeinu Shalom is being asked, this question. And in both cases, the phrase, there it's lama nigara, is being used. So some people just translate yigara, nigara, like, chisar, why should we lose out? Why should we lose out on the Korban Pesach? Why should we lose out on our, family, property? Certainly it can mean that. Lama yismana is how Unklus, translates it. And you can look at all the various mepharshim. I always thought that it's such a rare usage. It's from the language of Giron. It's more than just, laman, yimana mimenu. It has a connotation in both cases of, being diminished, by, not being, included. And I don't mean, obviously, then, technically, like, oh, you didn't bring the Korban Pesach, not Pesach Rishon, and you don't even get a Pesach Sheni. I don't mean just being excluded. I mean that you are spiritually, diminished by not having, the opportunity. You yourself are nigra as a result. And the case of Korban Pesach, I think, that was last year's limud, right? So we understand that. It has to do with the idea that Korban Pesach isn't just a chiyuv, it's not just a korban, right? It's a korban, which expresses, very singular themes. I call it the Korban HaEmunah, right? And the various things we don't need to review. I mean, maybe we do need to review, but definitely not in the Chabura. So, not being able to participate in any way, even if you're technically patur, because you were onus and you were tamei, etc., in the end of the day, it's a lost spiritual opportunity. You're diminished, by befoal, not being, able to achieve that or attain that. It's an attainment. And in the same way, not just presumably because of the dollars and cents, there are probably other ways, to express, the chisaron, than to use the same phrase, that we use with regard to Korban Pesach. So lama yigara shem avinu mitok mishpachto, to me, sounds like, Yerusha, is not just about dollars and cents. It's about a family legacy. It's about being part of the structure of the Shvatim and Klal Yisrael. And, our fathers, Chataim, were of type B, not type A. He doesn't deserve, that kind of krisus in a way. He doesn't deserve to be, X'd out of the structure. If we were talking simply about, it's not about dollars and cents. If we're talking about, sticks and stones and territory alone, I'm not sure, whether the language yigara and this mamad and the whole thing applies. Ki ein lo ben, tana lanu achuza, even the language, of course, of achuza as opposed to Yerusha, has a certain connotation, which we'll discuss more. Betoch achei avinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu brings this, din Torah, to bring the Korban Pesach and Pesach Sheni to the Rabbeinu Shalom. We understand the Korban or Emunah. But, a couple of dollars, a little bit of real estate in Eretz Yisrael, vayakrev es Moshe es mishpatan, lifnei Hashem. And then the Bnos Tzlafchad are given huge accolades, right? Vayom Hashem al Moshe leimor, kein Bnos Tzlafchad dovros, and Chazal again, ya'us, and, megalgon zchus al yidei zakai, Yafen Tavu, Ashri Adam Shakarish Baruch Hu Model Devarav. So, again, over a little bit of real estate that's, even very expensive real estate. We know about Pachim Ketanim, but probably Pachim Ketanim, are also not just about the money, frankly. Also symbolically significant. And we're talking about the tzidkus of the Bnos Tzlafchad. So part of it has to do with the way they asked the question, you know, what they didn't ask for, how they asked. They asked as, you know, internal, you know, people who were committed, you know, if they weren't going to get the answer that they, you know, this is very important, you know, in terms of paradigm, if they weren't going to get the answer that they wanted, you know, they were going to be makabel. And they asked respectfully, and they asked in the right hierarchy, and you know, they weren't trying to put themselves ahead of or even equivalent, you know, to the banim. And then they're given tremendous accolades, you know, for all of that. And of course, that would explain, you know, Cain, Benos, Slavchad, Dovros, and again, the how each one of their names, you know, reflects Midos Tovos, you know, and Megalgal and Tzchus. But certainly, if what they were asking also was not just about money, but Dvarim Ha'omdim, you know, Berumo Shalolam, and what they're really saying was, you know, we understand that Nachala, you know, in Eretz Yisrael in particular, is not about money. You know, it's really about Lama Yigara. It's about an Achuza. It's about, you know, the structure of the Shvatim, and also about mishpacha and continuity. If that's the case, then even more so, we understand the tremendous, we understand their courage in bringing this up, why they're bringing up the way they're bringing it up, and also the sensitivity of you know, the language they use and so on. So, Kein b'no slavcha dovros, nason titan lehem achuzas nachla, betoch achei aviyem. And, of course, the interesting phrase, v'havarta es nachalas aviyem lahem. And Chazal, you know, note that this language of havarta is unusual for Yerusha. You know, typically you say, you know, your language of Yerusha or Nesina. Havarta is strange. We'll get to the Rashi in just a second. Many, many views, but we're going to keep it short. El b'nei Yisrael to daber lemar. This introduces the rest of the Parsha. So, Begalgal and Tzchusai de Zakai. But it's, you know, when you take a step back, it's a very remarkable thing that, you know, the Parsha of regular Yerusha, you know, was not developed until, you know, the Bidel Slavchad, you know, raised this uncharted territory. You would have thought that the, you know, especially if this is a typical Kol Shemishpat din, it's a whole category, you know, that it would be in Parshas, I don't know, Mishpatim, or one of the other Parshios, you know, that deal with such matters. There are different views in Chazal, like, you know, would it have been just Torah Shebaal Peh? Would it have been, you know, would there have been different content, you know, to Yerusha? Is it Merumas in some other Parsha? The fact that B'nos Slavchad are, again, Megalgal and Tzchusai de Zakai is an amazing thing. But the whole context that this is the reason, or this is the framework with which, you know, we treat Dinei Yerusha is very interesting. El B'nei Yisrael to daber lemor. It's almost as if this, you know, background, you know, Nachlas Eretz Yisrael, and this question, and the way that it was asked, and how it was asked, and so on, is the right framework, you know, even for the Pirtei Pratim of Dinei Yerusha. Ishki Amus Ubein Einlo, Vavartem Es Nachlas Ola Bito, Vim Einlo Bas Unesatem Es Nachlas Ola Yachav, Vim Einlo Achim Unesatem Es Nachlas Ola Achei Aviv. Your language of Yerusha, not Havara. So this, of course, is the actual parsha of typical Yerusha, and it too is written in a very extraordinary way. In addition to the context of Benos Slavchad and Nachlas Eretz Yisrael, even though, again, Dinei Nachla apply not only to Nachlas Eretz Yisrael, not only to real estate, as we know, it applies to all property. But even the formulations are very interesting, right? Instead of, you know, you could have said, you know, simply, Unesatem es Nachlaso, L'she'ero hakarov elav, Mimishpachto v'yarashoso, that could have been a short, you know, version. Instead, the Torah decides to specify certain krovim, once you're specifying certain krovim, you could say, well, that's, you know, there could be very various reasons for that. But then, of course, the spotlight on the fact that you're not zeroing in on, you're not, you know, enumerating all of the hierarchy of the krovim, you know, that becomes, you know, something that needs to be explained. So the Torah's, you know, focus is on, you know, ben abbas, because that's the most safchad question. But then it's, you know, ben, and if not ben, then bas, okay. But then it's echav. And of course, really, we'll read the Ramban in just a second. Really, it's not echav, it would be the father. Right, so the father is missing, you know, in the mix. V'im ein lo achim, so then it's the uncle, which, you know, may be true, but again, it's the uncle because of the uncle, or the uncle because of the father. V'im ein achim, only then do we mention l'she'ero hakaro v'la. So just a aside even from what I'm, you know, generally talking about now, which is, like, is this all about dollars and cents, or real estate, or is it about, you know, something bigger? You know, just even if you wanted to forget that question for a moment, you know, just this presentation, the absence of certain yorshim and the inclusion of others needs explanation. And in particular, the relationship between specific yorshim that are identified, as opposed to unasatam esnachlaso l'sheiro hakarov yelavim bishpachtov yerasha. So, meaning, how many dinim are there here? And this is just another way of saying, and I hope to, I'm not going to speak about the details of this today, but maybe another time, is there something called Yerusha Yeshira, you know, and something else called what we'll call Mishmush Nachala, or Kurva, you know, in terms of Yerusha? Or is the Torah just giving us, you know, a couple of examples and guidelines? And by this, we're supposed to understand Kurva. There's only one din. And if there is only one din, what is that din? Is it that, you know, the closest karov always is Yoresh directly, just that he has to be the closest karov, so you still need, you know, some sort of hierarchical, you know, system to know who it is. Like, you know, how do you know? How do you know the son comes before the father, and that the father comes before the brother? You know, so the Torah is helping us out in that. But maybe, even if it's, you know, his fourth cousin twice removed, you know, maybe even then, if he is the, you know, the closest relative, you know, so, you know, he, as the closest relative, you know, is Yoresh. You know, that's one model. Of course, the opposite model is that, you know, there's only one model of Yerusha, and everything is Bekever, what we call Mishmush Nachala. And the Torah is just, you know, telling you, you know, a couple of examples of how it goes. So it's, you know, it's always a vertical, we'll call it, you know, kind of a Yerusha. And it's, you know, it's the father. The Chiddush is that you might have thought it was only the father to son, but it is also father to daughter. Even then, of course, one of the questions is, do they really work the same way? You know, when there is a son, it's the son. When there's a daughter, the daughter is Yoreshes the same way that the son is Yoresh? Or the fact that has priority, you know, establishes, you know, again, if everything is either the closest relative or everything is simply like vertical Yerusha, then presumably, you know, not. And then you go, you know, implicitly the father, and then the father has, you know, his sons and daughters, and that's how you end up with what looks like brothers or uncles or whatever. Well, we'll see in a minute, just to highlight a little more in terms of the Ramban. But, so, you know, there could be, I would say, three or more, frankly, models of Yerusha that are implied in the Parsha. Okay? You could say that we have, you know, Yerusha Yeshira, and that the ones, you know, that are listed in the Parsha are direct Yorshim. Now then, this still leaves out the question, like, what about the ones that are, you know, are prior in the hierarchy, but that are not mentioned in the Torah, meaning the father? Like, you know, what do you do about that? But, you know, I remember hearing many years ago, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha, he's very, very into this idea that the, you know, the ones that are mentioned in the parsha are all like Yerusha Yeshira, you know, brothers and uncles and cousins. Big, big issue, as you already sure know, you know, in the Makoros and especially in the Poskim, and of course important Nafka Mina, you know, whether you have to drag through everybody's debts and so on, and you know, Yochanan ben Broka and other such things, and we'll talk a little bit about it again, not today, but maybe in the second half of this Chabura. But you could say that the Torah is providing two different models. That's basically what I'm summing up to say. One is Yerusha Yeshira, and the other is a kind of, you know, mishmush nachla. But it isn't, you know, it isn't necessary to come to that conclusion. You could say everything is Yerusha Yeshira, you know, and the mishmush nachla is just a way of establishing, you know, who the closest karov really is, but then it's a more direct, you know, kind of relationship. Or you could say that even the most direct krovim are not Yerusha Yeshira. You know, they're mishmush, except for, you know, they're all basically, you know, from one to the other. Who are you really Yoresh from? You know, when Yerusha becomes complex, are you really Yoresh from the Morish, from the Niftar? Or are you Yoresh Bekever, you know, from your Morish, but you really have no... I mean, the property obviously comes from the Niftar. I mean, conceptually, like, where does the property come from? Or is there something, like, in between, you know, that on some level you get the property of the Morish, you know, from him, but Agav, you know, your closer relative and his closer relative, maybe there's an in-between, you know, even in understanding Mishmash. All of this, in my opinion, is, you know, is occasioned just by reading the Psukim, and seeing, you know, that there are, you know, Yorshim who are mentioned and Yorshim who are on that list, you know, who are obviously omitted. And then a separate pasuk, Unisatim es nachalasa l'sheira karov elav mimishpak tov yarash osa, you know, raises these questions. Now, getting back to my original question, which is, like, to what extent are we dealing just with, you know, being kone nichse haniftar, you know, and this is a kind of a, you know, like a hilchos mechira type of issue. It's about property and disbursement and so on. Okay, it works a little bit differently, absent a kinyan, it's mimela, etc. But it's really, it is about, you know, passing on assets and so on. Some assets are more significant than others. You know, karka and Eretz Yisrael, and especially initially in the chalukah, you know, obviously has other, you know, connotations too. I'll get to back to that in a second. There's no denying that. The question is whether that component, you know, is an independent, you know, one-time issue, or whether or not the fact that the parsha of Nachla, you know, is developed in the context of Yerusha Eretz Yisrael and the Chalukah, according to the Shvatim, isn't, you know, perhaps, doesn't perhaps imply that there's some aspect, you know, comparable to that on an individual level, you know, in all Yerusha. So that's kind of really the question I'm asking. And from that point of view, this second question, which is like, how does Yerusha really work? You know, is it, you know, through Mishmush, and it's a narrow kind of an idea? Or is it through Yerusha Yeshira? You know, you just have to establish the hierarchy all the time, each case, to see who's the closest relative, or whether there are two dinim or more, and where you draw the line and what the nafka minas are. You know, that itself, you know, may be part of this story. Because, you know, the more you think that there are, you know, Yorshim who are, you know, especially there's a group of Yorshim who have a direct relationship and by virtue of that inherit, the more tempting it is to see, again, not muhrach, that, you know, Rusha is kind of a consequence of relationships. And again, when I say that, I want to make it clear, I don't mean the actual relationship between the individual, you know, actors, you know, in the case. You know, sadly, in the world, you know, you can have parents and children who don't get along, and you can have more distant relations that are sometimes, you know, closer than, you know, it's actually, you know, closeness in relationship is a very, you know, double-edged, you know, sword, as we know. I always like to quote the interesting debate between the, you know, Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch, you know, when it comes to psulei kurva, you know, elam nakrovim, you know, so, you know, the, on one level, of course, you know, krovim are psulim, you know, it sounds like the Gemara says it's a gzeres hakasuv, gzeres hamelech, Moshe v'Aaron, Achim heim, the Gemara in Bava Basra, the end of Bava Basra, from Des. So, and the Minchas Chinuch, you know, holds very firm to this. You know, he doesn't like any tamei mitzvot when it comes to, you know, psulei kurva. He says like Moshe v'Aaron. But the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos and the Chinuch in Sefer Chinuch, you know, both explain that, you know, the reason that krovim are psulim is because you know, you can't trust them. Now, again, I don't want to get into all of this, but of course it is Gzeres HaKasuv, and the Gzeres HaKasuv is what tells us that since there's a structural, you know, problem and that's anticipatable, you know, in terms of objective trust, because people have, you know, negius, you know, therefore there's Gzeres HaKasuv across the board. We don't make exceptions, you know, for Moshe v'Aaron, even though we trust them, you know, absolutely. Anyway, but that's on the Minchas Chinuch side. What I wanted to say was that there's a debate between the Rambam and the Chinuch, you know, about the nature of the negius. I'm trying to remember who says what now. I think it's the Rambam who says, like, krovim, you know, you just can't trust them. Like, there's so much hostility, you know, sometimes, and, you know, and competition, you know, that, you know, they can undermine each other. You know, and I think I'm being mean to the Rambam, but I recall that's the Rambam's view in Sefer Mitzvot is an example, of course. And Sefer Chinuch says the opposite, like, you know, the ava between, you know, between krovim is such that, you know, it's, you know, you just can't, you know, objectively rely on. All this, of course, has to do with the nature of Eidos, you know, being beyond reproach, you know, that beyond even, you know, people's speculation of reproach. That's what the Gzeres HaMelech is. But either way, but the point is that when it comes to, you know, relatives, there's a, you know, there's a certain, you know, bond, and that bond, you know, has double-edged, you know, consequences. So if we're talking about Yerusha Yeshira, okay, we're talking about, you know, in a good way, so we're talking about, you know, usually things that apply, you know, also Mechaim. What I was saying before is, I'm not talking about the actual relationship, you know, between this Reuven and that, and, you know, his son, you know, Nasan, or whatever his name is. I'm trying to pick a name that no one has in the room. You know, that could be amazing, and even better than, you know, than typical, or it could be, you know, a Yotze Dofen, you know, and be particularly, you know, toxic. You know, life is complicated. All that is irrelevant, obviously, you know, in the objective halacha, you know, structurally. You know, but the idea, you know, that structurally, you know, that there's a hierarchy of relationships, and that a hierarchy of relationships creates a Yerusha Yeshira, and that in some level it doesn't even need a kinyan, it kind of, you know, makes that unnecessary. Because of, to use the language of the Chinuch, although he uses this language even with regard to Mishmush Nachala, which is interesting, there's a kind of a dveikus, you know. Chinuch wasn't a chassid, you know, but he was just trying to explain it, you know, between, you know, the morish and the yoresh, and therefore you don't need a kinyan. But to some extent, it's about, you know, the bond that exists in life, you know, and this is then an application, you know, that, you know, is manifest, you know, in, you know, the end of life. You know, that's part of the legacy and continuity part of it. You don't need to say this, but the more you look at it that way, as opposed to, well, it's an automatic kinyan, and it just goes to the nearest karov, you know, whoever he may be, you know, the more we're talking about, again, relationships and family structure, you know, earlier, you know, Shivatim structure, etc. So this is, again, I'm going to document this just, you know, a little bit more. This is an important piece. And another important piece, again, the idea that there's a v'havartem in light of this also, that not only is there, you know, two models, or three models, if you want to say, you know, Ben being the first may just not just only be the closest, but that might just be a different category. We'll get to it if we get a chance. Ben, you know, Ben Kara Davua, there are certain things, maybe even Bechor more than Ben, you know, we'll get to that very quickly as an example. Let's say Bechor, let's say, would be one level, and then Ben, another level. You know, then comes, you know, Bas. Then comes, you know, a little bit more extended, but still in the Parsha, you know, again, implicit Av and explicit, you know, Achiv, and then uncles, and so on and so forth. So these are maybe different, you know, levels, and they may work differently. There certainly may be nafkamina between them. And then, of course, the Mishmash Nachla ones. And then Mishpachas Av, Mishpachas Aim, another place to draw the line. But what I'm suggesting is that, you know, paying attention to what is and what is in the Parsha, what's omitted in the Parsha, and also the language, what is, you know, unesatim esnachal aso le'achav, v'havartim esnachal aso le'bito, the idea that those seem to be different verbs, maybe because they work, you know, differently. Unesatim esnachal aso v'yarash osa, all of these phrases, you know, may be very significant in all of this, and all of this may just, you know, be giluye milsa about technical, legal details in passing, you know, property and money from one generation to the other. What I'm suggesting is, you know, that maybe, maybe not. Maybe it's much more than that. Maybe it tells us that Nachala, you know, is about these bonds during the lifetime that have, you know, continuity or manifest themselves, you know, even after the person's lifetime, and in some respect allow, you know, for his, the Niftar's continuity, or maybe that Gufa is some of the distinctions that are made here. And then finally, in the Parsha, V'hoysa l'bnei Yisrael l'chukas mishpat. You know, kasher siva Hashem es Moshe. The phrase chukas mishpat is a very unusual one, and potentially like a very significant one. As we know, typically chok and mishpat, you know, are opposite categories. Like mishpat is something typically that we associate with, you know, what the Rambam calls siklios, and, you know, chukim are shimios, you know, where we don't know, where we can't decipher, whether, you know, when the reasoning is mysterious. And mishpat, things that are very logical. So what is nachla? It's chukas mishpat. And of course, a strange phrase that the Gemara zeroes in on, in terms of connecting to the whole category of din, and that Rishonim, in particular the Rambam, I'll get to that in just a minute, you know, particularly without a makar, as far as I know, like expanded in, you know, in a very, very significant, you know, way, in terms of the ability of mas mashkasa v'Torah, although it seems like a tanai davar shebamamon, you know, but that not applying to Yerusha. So the fact that the Torah uses this characterization, you know, something that is kind of an amalgam of chok and mishpat, again, all the mafarshim talk about it. They have very important things to say about it. Some of them, including the Ramban here, kind of, you know, dismisses it. I say, it's not so different from other things, other phrases that we have. I'll read the Ramban in just a second. But at least in my opinion, and certainly in light of the Rambam, a very, very significant, it's a way of saying almost like this is, you know, both a chok and a mishpat. It's chosha mishpat, and it's yoredeya. You know, not paraduma exactly, you know, but obviously has, you know, aspects to it that are not just, you know, dina mominis, because it's more, more at stake here. So let's just to zero in on, just to highlight a little bit, very quickly, just some of the points I just made, just to show you that there are issues. The word, for example, the havartem. So the Gemara already speaks about this, but Rashi al atar, you know, loshon evrahu b'mishenu maniach ben liyarsho. Davar acher al shem shabbas ma'averes nachala mishevet l'shevet. The phrase vavartim is used with regard to bas because, you know, there's a factually, you know, if she marries out of the shevet, so there's vavartim, the property goes with her. But you wonder, again, you know, is this only factually? It is factually true. Or does that also say something about the nature of the Yerusha? And is that connected with the fact that Banim do take priority, you know, over Banos, and that the Yerusha works in a different way? You know, both that result could be a factor, or just the very fact that there is that result is symptomatic of, you know, a different kind of Yerusha, where you're getting the money that's more like a Yerusha, let's say, than it is kum tachtav, or, you know, stepping up into the role, you know, of the mace. Shebno baila yorshinosa, or shelotisov nachla lo nitztava elosador bilvat, of course. The chen vavartem es nachla oso lebito. Bekulun omer urasatem, bebasa omer, right, vahavartem. So this is a very interesting issue. One is that it's bito per se. The other, it's hasavas nachla. The Netziv raises other questions. The Netziv says, I don't understand vahavartem. It sounds like we're talking about Bezdin. Like, does Bezdin have a role in Yerusha? Yerusha is Mimela, right? It's however you want to see it, whether it's a kinyan or not kind of an afkat to the malka, or maybe there are two aspects. Either way, what does Bezdin have to do with it? Vavartim es nachlaso. In the end, the Netziv says, well, what this means, and this also may be a technical point, or maybe something very symbolically significant, what it means is that if you have a vadai, you know, and a safek, you know, that the Bezdin has to be clear only to accept the, you know, the bona fides of the vadai yoresh. There's a whole issue in some of the sugyas in Yevamos, particularly Nafal HaBayis, and a little bit in Bava Basra. Is this the regular din, you know, of Ein Safek Motzei Midei Vadai? No such thing as a regular din of Ein Safek Motzei Midei Vadai, because there are different examples of that itself, as the, you know, Rishonim in the first paragraph of Chulin point out, and elsewhere. But is it typical of that? And the Netziv goes on to suggest that no, that the word vavartem and so on implies that even if we're, you know, even in a situation where the normal rules of Ein Safek Motzei Midei Vadai don't apply, you know, they apply particularly, you know, in Yerusha, because it says vavartem. So what are we talking about exactly? Again, that's a topic in its own right for someone to do, or not, I don't mind filling in. That are we talking about a situation where, let's say, you have a vadai yoresh, right? A vadai person who's related, in other words, vadai karov, and a safek who's even more karov, right? And if so, are you talking about a situation where the vadai karov is a, you know, yoresh yashir at least? Or he's a vadai yoresh, but not necessarily in this list? It doesn't matter what he is. And the suffolk, you know, is suffolk whether he's more, or, you know, the vadai at least is equal, and the question is the status of the suffolk? Like, you know, a suffolk ben and a vadai ben, or are you talking about like a vadai ach and a suffolk ben? Right. So the Netziv's ha'ara, that, you know, Bezdin has a role here, you know, is fascinating in its own right. You need to understand the parameters of it. I wonder, you know, whether this isn't also related to the bigger question that I'm discussing. Like, if the dinim of Safek and Vadai are different in Yerusha, is that because it isn't just about, you know, Motzi Mechavero, Olav Araya, and the transfer of property? It's about a certain stature and status, you know, of being a Yoresh, which may require a Vadai. Just like Moshe L'Madover Dome, topic in its own right, a Bechor, you know, the Nachala, may require Vadai. Right? The Gemara in Daf Kuf Chav Zayin, in Yishlochlin, you know, discusses a case where, you know, you could be manafshach, you know, the money, you know, for b'chor. There are a few halakos like this. Like, you know, let's say you have two babies, they were mixed up in the hospital, you know, and you know, each one writes a harshtar harsha to the other one. So from a motzi mechaval of araya point of view, you know, they've solved the problem. The Gemara says, you know, or tumtum shen, you know, nikra, you know, v'nim sazachar. Like when it comes to b'chor, there's a din of, you know, it has to be, you know, barur mishas leida. And there's a din in general that it can't be suffic even if you take care of the money part of it. Okay, why is that? And you find it in a few other things also, kilas aviv, hakasav, a few other examples of this. It has nothing to do with the money, obviously. But the idea, I think, and I'll get to that when I get to Bechor just very quickly also, is that in Bechor in particular, there's a very strong reason to think, you know, that the mamad, that the status, the stature, the shame b'chor, you know, is a critical aspect, you know, of his Yerusha, of his Nachla. And the din is that there's no such thing as a status misafek. You could mimanafshach out the result, you know, but it doesn't change the reality. Like, you don't look at this guy, you don't say, oh, b'chor la'aviv. Safek. So is that true on some maybe lesser level? It's not true about a pashut, you know, that he has to be, you know, let's say a zachar, you know, mishas leida. It's not true that a pashut, you know, safek pashut can't be manav shachal the problem. But when it comes to, let's say, the hierarchy of, you have a vadai and a safek, is there some, like, you know, fainter echo, like, of this idea? Which, again, through the pasuk vavartem, would kind of highlight again that, you know, Yerusha isn't just about, you know, the fair distribution, you know, of the money, right? It's about being a yoresh, and, you know, as such, you know, stepping into that property or taking over some aspect or continuing the legacy, you know, of the mace. So these are interesting questions, even in the word vavarten, as I say, there's a lot to discuss. The Ramban, of course, directly in the Parsha here, I put that on Mar Magomos, discusses the problem of, you know, several things, you know, but, you know, parts, the problem of the missing, you know, father, you know, in the hierarchy in the list, says the Ramban, Kibla Rabosenu, Ke'av Yorishas Bino, Kasher Meis Belo Zera. We have a Mesorah, you know, that there's no son and there's no daughter, you know, that it goes up to the father. Belo Hisker Akasuv Zeh, Vatam Ki B'Mishpatei Yerusha Kol Manchil Nochel, Ki Akurva Shave. Now this is a very fascinating idea, and you know, it's not so obvious. I don't think it's necessarily always true. It's very logical. I mean, the Ramban says kurva is, you know, a two-way street. You know, it's, you know, from a technical point of view, in terms of distance, you know, it goes into both directions. So if a son is Yorish, his father, you know, then a father has to be Yorish, his son. That's the Ramban's statement. And therefore, it's implicit in Yerusha Saben, and doesn't need to be explicated that there's Yerusha Sa'av. Kivin Shomer Akasav Shaben, Yoresh Saviv, Gama Av, Yoresh Esaben. But, as I say, I don't think it's completely true in all cases. Where you really see it, I'll just give you one quick example, there are many examples, but you see it a lot in grandparents, right? You know, Ben Beno and Avi Aviv. It's not always the same relationship. It's not always the same. There's an understanding in Chazal, you know, in some of the Rishonim at least, and some of the Mekoros, you know, that the dynamic of relationships, you know, isn't just about distance, structurally. Now, this could be true in Yerusha, you know, again, the status of grandchildren in particular. The Gemara later on, Lav Kufn and Tests in the Mar Makomos, I'm not going to get to it today. I'll speak more specifically about individual Yorshim something when I finish this up, hopefully. But, you know, Mikoach Avua Da'aba Kasina, I don't know if everybody got that's a Gemara in Kufin and Tess, but I think I put it in Marmakamos. You know, it's the Gemara basically challenges, you know, the idea of Yerusha Yeshira, you know, from a grandfather, you know, to a grandson. You know, and the Gemara defends it, you know, by saying something that seems, you know, inexplicable, you know, b'makom avua kamina, but mikoach, you know, avua da'aba kasina. I think that's the language of the Gemara. So, and in general, you know, is it true that a grandfather, you know, is a father, you know, to a grandson in the same way that a grandson is a son to the grandfather, right? Now, again, from an experiential point of view, it's different, right? Much more so than a father and a son. Father and son is such a direct relationship, you know. He's my son and I'm his father, you know. But a grandson and a grandfather in terms of distance, for different dinim maybe, there could be a different dynamic. Because there's a generation gap, is what I'm trying to say. How significant is the generation gap, you know, for each one? Not necessarily identical. Structurally, they're the same. So when the Ramban says, you know, he says it about father and son. Ki akur v'shave, right? Ki mishpatei ha-yerusha kol manchel nochel. I mean, of course he's right on some level. You know, but is that a conceptually obvious or uniformly accepted statement? Maybe that's not true. You know, it is of course true that, let me make it clear, that a father is Yorish's son, you know, and a son is Yorish's father. And it is true that Kalaman Chil Nochel, that is explicit. But does that mean Ki Akurva Shave? Right? I would say it depends on the korva. Right? And the example I'm giving about generation gap, you know, is a great example. Right. Okay. The ode, says the Ramban, so that's something to think about. The more technical and structural it is, you know, that's true. But not necessarily true in objectification of relationships. Again, I'm not talking about specific relationships. The ode, Kia Yerusha, he bishal sheles hazera, biyotze chalotzav, lo bitzdadin. And this is also a comment to the Ramban. Ramban's saying that Yerusha is vertical. It's never horizontal. Right? It's biyotze chalotzav lo bitzdadin. Im kenu nesatam es nachlaso liachiv mashma nachla sha'av yorish bekever mimenu tavo liachiv. This is certainly open to question. As we indicated before. I mean, the Ramban is saying, in the second explanation, right, that the father is implicit because there can't be, not because of the son. That was the first pshat. Maybe in the second pshat he's acknowledging that that's not always the case, at least in terms of the quality of the Yerusha. But in the second pshat, what he's saying is, all Yerusha is vertical. It's all father to son. And therefore, brothers are not brothers, they're the children of my father. So the Yerusha goes to father, and then to his sons, other sons, which happen to be my brothers. So my brother, according to the Ramban, this Ramban, you know, or at least that's part of the story, is not only being Yorish, maybe he's Yorish directly from me, but only because, you know, or Betoras, my father's son. Or maybe he's not Yorish directly at all. He's Yorish Bekever. My father's Yorish. My son and my daughter are Yorish, and then my father is Yorish. You know, in Yotzei Chalotzav, in vertical Yerusha. And from there, right, there's also his, you know, gets dragged through the Kever in the Mishmush. You know, so it's my brother, and this certainly the uncle. Right? He's not taking the view that I mentioned in the name of Aaron Soloveitchik, that whoever's in the Parsha, you know, is a Yoresh Yashir. Aval Lara, I said, why not say the father already? So here the Ramban has this, you know, very interesting. Lo Ratzalomar, Vimein Lobas, and the Satamis Lachlasa Liaviv, Kiderach bracha yadaber v'lo b'nichrasim. But that's, you know, that's a sad thing. In our family right now, we're in the midst of avelus for my father-in-law, who died at the age of 99, and who left, you know, a wonderful, big family. I have a cousin who called me up, and he was talking about things, and he said, you know, at least when you go to a funeral and you see, you know, the children and their, you know, 70s or 60s or 50s, and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren, you know, it's a sad loss, but at least that's the way the world, you know, is supposed to be. Sadly, you know, and especially in Eretz Yisrael, where you have soldiers, you know, sometimes the tragedy is greater. There's an unnatural, you know, avelus. You know, that's what the Ramban is talking about. Ramban says the Torah didn't want to mention the father because it can happen, but it's an unnatural avelus, right? Kiderach bracha yedaber v'lo b'nichrasim. V'ulai lohoya zeh b'boi har. That's a fascinating comment to the Ramban. She yinchal ha'avas ha'ben, right, shebehem yedaber. That's also very fascinating, because why would the Torah, you know, specifically when it's writing the parshal, the dorei doros, okay, fine, megalgalin z'chusai de'zakai, but the exact befoal way that it unfolded in the Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael, which overlaps with it, dictates the language of the psukim and who you emphasize. Does that imply that the connection to Eretz Yisrael, you know, is more than simply, you know, overlapping dinim or coincidence? Maybe. The Ramban on Chukas Mishpat also says something very interesting I mentioned before. That's an important... What do you mean, chukas mishpat? The Ramban says a very important thing. V'tam v'hoysel b'nei Yisrael l'chukas mishpat, she'yia ha-mishpat hazeh l'doros, lo b'nachlas ha'aretz ata, with an ayin, bovad. So, and then, by the way, v'tam kasha tziva shevas Moshe, kamar asher tzvi sicha, that's fine, avol bo kederech zos chukas ha-torah asher tziva Hashem, b'kein rabin, referring to the language of chukas mishpat. He kind of dismisses the significance of that. But before that, what he says about Chukas Mishpat is very important. Sheyeh Mishpat Hazeh L'doros, lo b'nachal ha'aretz ata bovad. Ramban appears to be acknowledging that one could have said that the hierarchy and the rules of Yerusha for Eretz Yisrael are different than L'dorei Doros. And that's why we need to be told that B'hoysel B'nei Yisrael, L'chukas Mishpat. Okay, what would that be? Why would it be different? The answer is because we could have thought that, you know, the distribution of Eretz Yisrael is not about real estate. Right? It's really about, you know, Yeshiva Aretz, and it's about the structure of Klal Yisrael, and it's about, you know, the sense of continuity and legacy and leadership and all of these things. So there's one parsha, maybe, one group of considerations, or even this, the language would be different with regard to Nachalas Eretz Yisrael, Yishuv Haaretz, you know, Chalukah L'Shvatim, and the Dorei Doros. Says the Ramban, that's why the Torah, you know, is telling you, you know, that it's... that the Chukas Mishpat, you should know, applies L'doros. Now again, is Ramban saying, in Achanami, the reasons that we might have thought to distinguish, whether in Tochen, in substance, or in language, you know, are correct. But at the end of the day, you know, it's still correct. The rules are still the same. Or is he saying, you know, the Torah chose the parsha of Yerusha's Eretz Yisrael as the paradigm for personal nachala because that's a very powerful way, you know, to convey, you know, that even personal nachala, you know, it's not about Yishuv Haaretz, but it is very much about the structure of the family, you know, and as such, it has a Yoredeya, we'll call it, a chukas, you know, component. Again, not that point in the Ramban, but my horror in the Ramban, in the language. And consequently, it's very different. The Netziv in his Hamikdavar disagrees with the Ramban. He says, oh, it's a Davar Pashut, you know, based on Rebbe in the Gemara, in Baal Basra, in Ishnochlin, it's Pashut that Chukas Mishpat, you know, applies, and these psukim apply Ladore Doros, even more maybe than, you know, than in the moment of Chalukas Haaretz. So, and he says, and I don't think it's possible to say that, you know, there's a difference between Horashas Ha'av or Yerushas Ha'ben, you know, that you might have thought that, you know, they're different from other Yerushos. He says, well, what's the difference? All Yerushas the same. Again, I think that's a fascinating comment. Because, of course, you might be Mechalik between Horashas Ha'av. You need evidence for it, and you have to figure out the Nafkamina, or Yerushas Ha'ben with regard to some of these issues. He says, in the end of the day, what the Torah is trying to tell us with the phrase Chukas Mishpat is that, you know, the Hakara, the identification of Kurva when it comes to Yerusha, right, is a din in Choshem Mishpat. Actually, it's interesting, you know, that the Netziv Dafka sees Chukas Mishpat as ensconcing Dinei Nachla, you know, particularly, you know, in Choshem Mishpat. So it's like, even though when it comes to, you know, Yibum and other things, Ishtimo Dinu, you know, you have this idea of Eidechad, Neman Bisurim, and, you know, you can have, you know, other, you know, lesser, you know, forms that, you know, that identify, you know, people, even though the consequences are erva or mominous, right? But when it comes to Nachala, says in Tziv, you should know, you know, this is a real Choshem Mishpat din. You know, it requires Shnayimein. That's what we learned from Chukas Mishpat. Very interesting. Okay. This question of Chukas Mishpat, as I mentioned, though, has, you know, much more significance. So, as I mentioned, the Rambam in Hilchos Achla, Perek Vav, Halacha Aleph, and no one seems to know exactly what the Makar is. It makes it even more telling. Ein adam yachal lahorish mi she'ein aroy liyarsho v'lo lakor hayirusha min hayoresh afal pi shezeh mamonu. Question is how to take that line. Afal pi shezeh mamonu. Right? Meaning you can't change dinei Yerusha even though it's dinei mamonis. L'fi she'nemer b'parshas nachlos v'hoysa l'bnei Yisrael l'chukas mishpat. Lomar she'chukas zu lo tishtaneh, right? V'ein atznai mo'il ba. That's the Rambam's chiddush. Bein she'tziva, right, v'hu bari, bein she'tziva v'hu shchid meira, bein alpeh, bein b'ksav, right, ein amo'il. L'fika cha'omer ish ploni b'ni b'chori, lo yital pishnayim, ish ploni b'ni lo yirash im echav, lo amar klum, ish ploni yoshani b'mokum she'ish lo bas, Bas Tishani B'Mokum She'esh Lo Ben, Lo Amar Klum V'Chein Kol Kiyotze Bazeh. Right? Avim Hayelo Yorshim Rabim, Kugon Banim Rabim, Obano Soachim, Vamar Kishu Shkiv Mera, Ploni Achi Yershani, Mechlal Achi, O Biti Ploni Tirshani, Mechlal Benosai, Dor of Kayamim. Bein Shomer Al Peh, Bein Bechsav. Okay, we'll hopefully get to discuss some of these issues. But the big chiddush of the Rambam, and everybody, you know, is scrambling to find the Makar, is that based on this formulation of Chukas Mishpat, right, there is no Masna, Masha Kasa B'Torah, B'Tanai Dover, Shib Mamon, if you will, when it comes to Dine Yerusha. The question is, how does it figure, how do you learn the Sugya and Ksuvas Daf Pei Gimel, and the Gemara in Bav Vasra, Daf Kuf Kav Vav, Amud Beis, and other Gemaras, which, you know, would seem to go against this. That requires, you know, more work, certainly. But nonetheless, this is the Rambam's conclusion. So it's very interesting that the Rambam, you know, elaborates this idea in Hilchos Ishus. In Hilchos Ishus, the Rambam discusses the possibility of making a tnai for Ona, right? Sher Ksus V'Ona. We paskin that, all things being equal, if you're Masa Masha Kosa B'Torah, it's Nai Dover Shabama, we paskin, that is effective. And for that reason, you can waive, the woman can waive her rights to She'er and to Ksus. What about Ona? That is a machlokas harishonim. And the Rambam takes a very firm stand on that issue. Right? The Rambam's view, I'm just trying to find the Perek Yud Aleph, Perek Yud Beis, sorry. Yud Beis, Vav through Tes. The Rambam takes a very strong stand on that issue. What did I just say? Right? Your base fell for test, yeah. Okay. That was it. Olive for some reason. Doesn't even make sense. Okay. Hisna Baal Shalo Yiskai Becha Min Advarim, Shuchai Bahem. Oshi Hisna Isha Shalo Yizake, Kabal Becha Min Advarim, Shuhuzoka Bahem, Hatnai Kai. Chutz Mishlosha Dvarim, Shaina Tanai Mo Ilbahem. Bakalamas Nalem, Tanai Batal. Elohim. Onasa. Ikar ksuvasa b'yerushasa. That's the Ram. Ketzad, hisna ma'isha shein la olav ona, t'nai batel. V'chaye b'onasa, shari hisna ma'asha katsu b'torah, v'eino t'nai mamo. Hisni ma lifchos me'ikar ksuvasa, v'shukasa masayim ameya, right, ikar ksuva v'kasala shen eskabla mehen, kach v'kach, v'hi lo neskabla, t'nai batel, shukala pokis l'psula mimasayim alamana mimana, harezu b'ilaznus. Hisna imo achar shenasa'a shelo yershena tna'a batel avabishi yerushas habama divrei sofrim also chizuk l'divreim gishol Torah v'chol tna'i shebi yerusha batel avabishi umamon shenemar ba l'chukas mishpa u'bishar dvarim tna'i kayam, right? Kegon shisni moshein lo sheru ksus amna shelo yochob peris nechseha v'chol kiyotzu b'ze tna'i kayam. So the Rambam has these three examples. And the question is to understand them. So I think, in the case of Ona, it's perfectly clear what he thinks. He thinks that Ona is Iser, not Mamon. It's part of the Ishus. And therefore, there's no din of Tanai Davarship of Mamon, Kai. But what about Ksuva and what about Yerusha? So without going into great details, I believe this is Rambam Lishitaso with regard to Ksuva. And the Ram quotes Kalapokes Lipsula Mimasayim Hareza Bi'ilaznus, actually. He quotes this not for now, but if you look at the Gemara in Ksuvis, it's actually backwards from the way the Gemara uses it. Right? The Gemara has the possibility that you can make a Tanai, to waive your Ksuva. But because of Kolaboa, not as indicated by Kolaboa, but because it will cause Kolaboa. If you look very carefully, the Ramam kind of formulated exactly the opposite of the way the Gemara has it for Rabbi Meir. So I think what the Rambam is trying to say, and this is part of a bigger topic, the Rambam Lishitaso has a very complex view of Ksuva. In my opinion, he thinks that the dinim, the pratim of Ksuva are drabanan, but that the kiyum of Ksuva is doraisa. Like Rashi, I think he read the pasuk "Mahor Yimharena Loli Isha" in the context of Manusa. Right? It's a very strange thing. "Mahor Yimharena Loli Isha." So Rashi says it means marry her, because "Mohar," like "Mohar Absulos," refers to a ksuva, which means give her a ksuva. So you can't just say marry her. Like, why do you say give her a ksuva? And the Ramban, of course, in his Perush Al Torah, says it can't mean that anyway, because Ksuva is only Rabbanan. Part of a larger debate between the Ramban and Rashi in their Perushim Al Torah. But I think the idea in Rashi is that Rashi thinks that either ksuvas daraisa or at least it's a kiyum daraisa. And the idea of the pasuk mor yomorna elisha is basically you disrespected this person through the act of ones, and the Torah wants to be metaken that not only by forcing you to marry her, but to marry her with dignity and to give her security. So the Torah specifically says, Mohar Yimarena lo leisha, meaning give her ksuva in the marriage. And I think that's a pshat in the Rambam also, in Perek Beis Chosnar Basula. I think the Rambam says that, you know, you give a ksuvas masayim even to a be'ulas atzmo, and it seems to be based on that, the whole discussion of the Shemelech. More importantly, the Rambam, in a few places, even though he paskins ksuva d'rabbanan in the specific issues having to do with the money, heimamru v'heimamru, in terms of namanus, you know, mikulei ksuva, in terms of, you know, mos kaputkia, mos Eretz Yisrael, and a few other things. But when it comes to, like, defining ishus, you know, the Rambam all inserts ksuva, like the Rambam, the Koteret, Lisa Isha b'ksuva b'kiddusha. That's again part of a much larger presentation. When the Rambam speaks about Pilegesh, you know, in Hilchos Malachim, he mentions it's b'li ksuva u'b'li kiddusha. What's he said b'li? Which is based on the Gemara, but it's one thing if you hold ksuva to be doraisa. If ksuva is not doraisa, and you're already saying b'li ishus, what do you need to say b'li ksuva? The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvot, when he talks about Kadesha, talks about Bali Ksuva. So I think the upshot, just to, you know, to make it very, very short, is that the Rambam's view is, you know, that, and maybe got it for the words Mor Yomorna Elisha, but the Rambam's view is that Ksuva is a Kiyum Daraisa in that it underscores that Ishus isn't just a heter Isha Labala, but it is like a safeguarded, secure, you know, relationship. Shalote Kala Be'enav Lotzia for the Rambam is not like, oh, you know, she burnt the stew, you know, he might divorce her. You know, this will put on the brakes. It's, you know, a kiyum in the entire Ishus that, you know, Shalote Kala Be'enav Lotzia, that if there's strife between a husband and wife, that there should always be the perspective that this is a long-term relationship, and you know, you don't judge it by the moment, and you don't judge it, you know, economically. The economics is a way of kind of building security, you know, for each part. That's why it's the key to defining Pilegesh as opposed to Isha. It's the key to what constitutes, you know, Kadesha. And that's what the Rambam says, Lisa Isha Biksuva Vikidushin. So when the Rambam wants to explain, the, like, of all things, why can't you be Masna Mashakasav Batorah, your ksuva? He answers, it's like Ona. It expresses itself, meaning the ksuva, in Mamanus. But it's not about Mamanus, right? It's about the security and the kedusha of the Ishus. So that's like Ona. I always try to explain that. You know, Rashi has a tshuva where he says that, you know, why we read the ksuva sometimes. You know, he says, oh, it's to break up the erusin and the nesuin. I'm not against. Rashi says the tshuva. But I also think probably we could have found other ways to break up, you know, the erusin and the nesuin. But this is a perfect way to do it, actually, at that juncture, because instead of perceiving, like, oh, now we're reading the conditions in which you know, he'll die or he'll divorce her, you know, and, you know, all these terrible consequences will take place. You know, when the person's reading the ksuva, you know, what's really happening is, you know, there's a proclamation, you know, that Ishus isn't just a kinyan and a heter Isha Labala, you know, but that it is a secured, you know, mutually a confident relationship, a long-term relationship. The haraya, shalote kalabein of lotzia, are economic levers that are put into place in order to make sure, you know, that the husband and wife, you know, both have mutual respect and protection and so on. What could be better, right, to read between the erusin and the nesuin? Anyways, why am I telling you all this? So the Rambam says, like Ona, there's no Masa Masha Kasa B'Torah, because, and that's why he flipped the order. Again, this is, you can read it, I wrote up some years ago. That's why he wrote, that's why he writes, Shekolha, you know, one second. What, how does he conclude here? Shekolha Pochis Lebesulim Mimasayim Alamana Mana Harezu Bilaznus. Say, not the way the Gemara uses it. But what the Rambam's saying is, and that, of course, language itself is very shocking. You know, we're familiar with it, so it's no longer shocking. But, you know, poches, miksuva, you know, mimamun aksuva, that's boel bilas nus. Right? But if you take this perspective, what you're really saying is, you know, he's kind of planning in advance to casualize, you know, his marriage, to make it easier for him to walk away from it if he so chooses for frivolous, you know, reasons. That's what he's doing in advance of the marriage. So, you know, his ishus is like being bo'al bilaznus, in a way. Right. So that's Masa Masha Kasa B'Torah, not Tanai Darshu B'Mamon. Why am I telling all this? The avtipus of all of them is the Rambam's view of Chukas Mishpat. So it sounds like what the Rambam is saying is, of course, the, you know, what's affected in the effort to be Masa Masha Kasa B'Torah, Tanai Darshu B'Mamon, in Nachala, you know, is dollars and cents. No question about that. However, in the end of the day, the Torah calls it Chukas Mishpat. And it's, you know, written in the Parsha of Nachalas Eretz Yisrael. Because it isn't really about the money. It's really about family structure, family legacy. And as such, it's the Yoredeya, we'll call it, component of this particular Choshen Mishpat. And like the Ksuva, and like the Ona also, did some Rishonim say, how can any Rishonim disagree? And they do. And think that Masa Masha Kasa B'Torah applies to Ona. That's not Davar Shebe Mamon. So the Rishonim say, the Ritva and others, because it's Hanas Aguf. Right? It's Hanas Aguf, but it's also a core part of the definition of Ishus and Kedusha. And the Ksuva is certainly about, you know, payments and distributions. But it's part of the Hagdara of Ishus Shel Kedusha. And in the same way, but maybe even, you know, this one has Xeris HaKasuv in the Torah, according to the Rambam. Chukas Mishpat tells us that Nachala, you know, is about money. That's the consequence. That's how it's manifest. That's how it's expressed. But it's really, really about when you disinherit somebody or you displace somebody, right? It's not just, oh, so they're going to have to work, you know, they won't be able to retire as quickly. You know, that is a statement about family standing. And that is something which is not just the Davrish of the moment. Oh. So it's very interesting to note that the Chinuch in Mitzvah Tuf says something fascinating. He talks about Yerusha, and he says, I'm going to have to stop, you know, pretty soon. I mentioned before one thing that he says, which I think is really interesting, even about Mishmush, right? Shinitztavenu b'dinei nachlos. Of course, you know, all these kind of, you know, mitzvos, you know, like dinei nachlos, right? Like, what is that exactly? Like, some of the Monei mitzvos, you know, counted parshios, which weren't mitzvos exactly, like a chiyuv mitzvah, kiyuv mitzvah, they're dinim. But the Rambam doesn't count parshios, at least it's not pretty clear that he doesn't, and the Sikh Tefra Chinuch doesn't either. So what do you do with all these, you know, Choshen Mishpat and other, you know, or factual mitzvos? So I always think, again, at least Lishitasi, you could say I'm wrong, but that they all reflect certain kind of values. And whether it's, you know, Kiddushin, Gittin, I don't believe the Rambam holds it's a mitzvah lekadesh. I think the Rambam's view is it's a mitzvah to do Kiddushin b'derech erusin kodem suin. I don't think they're certainly not a mitzvah legarish. You know, it's a mitzvah to do gerushin, you know, properly, you know, with a ksav, lishma, because the methodology and the details, in my opinion, this is my pshat in the Rambam, always reflect like a certain unique halachic perspective, you know, which, and that's the mitzvah, to embrace that, to understand that and to embrace it. And the same is true with tumas and kashrus and shchita and, you know, and so on. Again, the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Shin Samach Daled, when he talks about tshuva, there it's particularly controversial, like Minchas Chinuch has this famous view in the Rambam, you know, that tshuva is a reshus, you know, and vidu is a mitzvah, but tshuva is, you know, only a reshus. And then he goes on to say there are, like, many parshios that are, you know, counted in minyan mitzvahs. And I think one of the examples, if I recall, that he gives there is nachlas. Like, you know, there's no mitzvah of nachlas. It doesn't do anything. It's all automatic. These are dinim. So there's a din of tshuva. It's not a mitzvah or a chiyuv of tshuva. You know, make a bracha on tshuva. You know, just like, if you do it, this is the effect. These are the rules. These are the laws. But I think the chinuch and the Rambam don't usually hold that way. I think they say kind of what I'm saying. So the chinuch says, shenitztaveinu b'dinei nachlas. Klomar, whenever, you know, whenever you see a klomar, something is afoot, you know, as they say. Shemitzvah leinu lasos v'ladun b'inyan anachla kashadona hatorah aleha. It's a mitzvah to comply with dinei Torah. Like, what is that? Shenemar, ish ki amus ben ein lo v'avart misnachas ol bito, imein lo bas, sofa parshav, oysel b'nei Yisrael, chukash mishpat, Kasher Tziva Hashem is Moshe. He particularly emphasizes the end of the Parsha Chukas Mishpah. Al Tachshov She'amri Bazeh She'amitzvahi, says the Chinuch. Don't think that means that when you're alive, you don't have like the right to disperse your money to whoever you will, whoever you want. Right? She'nas v'inanaka kashadona Torah leo She'erza lomar She'adam Mitzuvah me'akel Lasei smashi yeshali yorshal kapanim Gakel baruch ho laratza lahotzi nechsei adam irshuso. Nobody, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is not tying your hands economically. Shelo lasus mem kol cheftzo b'shvil yorsho kolo dishmaso bo kamo sheyachshu chachmei umos. Aval hodianu sheschus hayoresh kashur b'nichsei morisha. This, I think, is a very nice language. It's not the main thing I want at the moment. It's what I was referring to before. U'bistale koach hamorish min hanechasim b'moso miyad nofel aleihem schus hayoresh. Like, where's the kinyan? The answer is, you know, that connection makes him kind of like, you know, it's a little scary to think about economically, I guess, like, you know, like he's in the shadows, you know, being omeid lios yoresh, you know, always. But not to tie his economic hands, but because of the bond and the kesher. Ki'in an ishtalshalus hayitziros, very beautiful, sheratza yotzer baruchu zeachar zeh mibli hefsek. Wow. Like the Ishtalshalus Sayitziros? Jake, I don't know. The, just even to know what that means, you have to consult Jake. That's the, he's beyond the kolal, so he knows these things now. V'rabaseinu zecharnu levracha, yikru l'schusa chazak she'esh li'orish b'nichsei marisha b'lashon mishmush. Again, you would have thought mishmush is, you know, just to keep the you know, the vertical, you know, ab ben boom, you know. He thinks that even the mishmush is this kiloshen amarim baharbi mekomos nachla mimashmeshes veholeches klomar sheschus hayorish bemorish kilo agufim dvukim zebaze. I mean, then, you know, it's the same for a chinuch. You have to take it with a little bit of, but I always think even when it's a little bit, you know, emphatic, you know, that it's important. Yesh dvarim bego shekol hayotzei min ha'echad nofel al hashem. This is all about relationships and the bond between the people, you know, when they're alive, or due to the korva, that, you know, allows you to bypass kinyanim. And then he goes on. Again, there are many, many good things here. I have to end soon, so I want to get to at least the small little amount that I want to do today. In the very end of the piece, he, pages and pages, let's see, v'noheges b'chomoko b'chosman b'schor m'rekevos, the overall zev et siva, bein bari, Bain Shimira, Shiloh Yoshenu, right? Haroi liyarsho bitel aseizeh. That's a big chiddush. Chinuch says, you know, even if what you do doesn't affect anything, the very effort to disinherit somebody is a violation of the asay of nachla. Wow. Afal pi she'em b'dvar mamish, kemo she'kasav d'lamala b'tchilas ha'inyan. And he, you know, in the middle of the piece, seems to say that if the Rambam doesn't think that this is, doesn't sound like this in the Rambam at all, that trying, you know, the Rambam says chukas mishpat, it doesn't work. It doesn't sound like, you know, the effort itself is an aveira. The Chinuch understood the Rambam as saying, you know, that, you know, if Beis Din were to try to subvert, you know, dinei nachala, you know, that would be an aveira for the Rambam. Maybe, I don't see it in the Rambam. But of course, what the Chinuch is saying, this idea that there's a, you know, a value in upholding or at least not, you know, disrupting or opposing, you know, Seder HaYerusha, makes a lot of sense if this is really about, you know, family relations and status. And what's curious then is that he goes on to say, V'haramban kosav, ki harambam chiser b'makom zeh shtei mitzvos. Achas mitzvah sasei, achas lo sasei, shteyem b'bechor. She'odem mitzuvah lahakir ha'bechor b'misas pishnayim lo. V'zosi mitzvah sasei ala'av shelo chishev oso harambam b'minyono. Kamo ken buzer olam mehavir ha'bechor mimenu al zeh nemar lo yuchal avakir. V'zos ha'zhara gam ken lo chashev oso harav ha'nizkar shekola alakob b'mitzvah nachos. So it's interesting that the chinuch, you know, having expanded in a very, you know, striking way, you know, the idea that there's like an iser to try to, you know, disinherit, you know, a pashut, says, and by the way, the Rambam, you know, according to the Ramban's thinking, omitted a lav and an asay regarding b'chor. Ram has not pashut and not b'chor. The Ramban, at least, as he's correctly pointing out, has this with regard to Bechor. And this comes from the Parsha in Re'eh. Where's that Parsha? Chaf Aleph? Tezvav, Yud Zayin. And again, this is a much bigger topic. I just want to touch on it. Right, the beginning of Parsha's Kiteitze. Right? So you have, of course, you know, the Parsha of you know, Milchama and Vishaviso Shivyo, Eishas Yifas Toar. And then after that, you have, you know, Kisien al Ishte Nashim, Achat Ahuva, Achat Snua, Vyodolo Vanim, Ahuva, Vahasnua, Vaya Beina Bekor, Lasnia, Vaya Biyom Hanchilo, we have language, the verb Hanchilo, as Banav, Esa Sheyelo, Lo yuchal avaker as ben ahuva al pnei pen hasnua habachor ki es habachor ben hasnua yakir losas lo pishnayim kekol asher yimatzei lo ki hu reishi say no oh no lo mishpat habachor. Very charged psukim. And then of course after that you have the third parsha, and that's ben sora mora, and Chazal, you know, saw a, you know, avera gorera savera, you know, relationship here, but that's not for now. Oh. So these psukim about Bechor, lo yuchal avaker and yakir, the Ramban understood in a very, again, nechudash way. The Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos, one second, what did I say? Chaf Aleph. The Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos, as the Chinuch pointed out, right, counts lo yuchal avaker in the Lavin, and counts Yakir in the Essen, and is critical of the Rambam, you know, for omitting them. In his Perush Al HaTorah, also in Sefer Mitzvot, but he goes actually further in his Perush Al HaTorah. Let me see if I can find it. How come I'm not seeing it here? He says the following. Like, what is the nature of this Iser? Mishnah. He says, oh, okay. He has so much on Eishes Yifas Tohar. Lo yuchal levaker es ben Ahuva. Says the Rabban, Azhara shelo yasa zeh. Right? Because you could read the Pasuk, and the Rambam obviously reads the Pasuk, as lo yuchal levaker es ben Ahuva yakir. It's a statement of fact. In other words, you can't undo, you can't de-bechor him. Like, you can't swap bechors. You know, mimela, al korchacha, yakir. The Ramban says, no, that's not the pshat. It's azhara shalayasazet. You shouldn't do it. Now, whether it works or not, we'll see in a moment. V'chein kulam, lo tucha lecha b'sharecha, lo tucha lases alecha yishnachri, Amar unklus bekulam leis lechar reshu, and you don't have the right. Vatam lo titein yecholas lenafshecha lasos kacha, who maflig bazara. Okay, very fascinating. But then he says, the chen ki as pkor ben asnua yakir losos li pishnayim is mitzase. So it's not enough that there's a lav to try to undercut the bakor. In addition, independent of that, there's a separate mitzvah saseh of yakir. Seems like overkill. For the Rambam, none of them exist. Right? But mitzvah saseh sheyan chilenu pishnayim. Then he adds, v'hinei ha-mashves ha-bechor le'echav b'nachalaso, if he tries to equate the bechor with others, over below saseh v'yaseh, v'yafa b'she'en devar of kayamim b'din. Or just the effort to do it, which is why the chinuch was quoting the Rambam. He was kind of saying, I don't know if he was saying this, but I'm going on a ledge, I'm applying this, principle even to a pashut. The Ramban at least acknowledges it with a lav and an asay regarding Bechor, and the Rambam doesn't seem to have it, except maybe as it in Bezdin, whatever. But then he adds, V'koshke nim lo ratza lahodia shehua Bechor. Wow. Let's say you have a child and you never told him he's a Bechor. According to the Ramban, that is a violation of the mitzvah saseh of Yakir. There's no Gemara for that. Right? That's the Ramban's deep conviction. V'ton shu pashut v'nchilo ke'achad mibanav midaito, right, shehu ha-Bechor sheover bahem. And then he adds, rare, ve'elu mitzvos mechudashos. Right? The Ramban knows, but this is what he says. This is, again, Sephrabis is not quite as detailed. And then comes the best part of all. What do you mean, al pnei ben asnua? It's a strange usage. Says the Ramban, yirali, almost Rambam-like language, she'ena mitzvah zos v'adin hazen noeg ela b'chaye ha-bechor. This he only says in Perushal HaTorah. Avalim mesa b'chor b'chaye aviv afapishu yoresh chelik b'choroso b'kever umorisho min adin labanav imratza zaken v'amar yirshu banai kach v'kach b'nichsei ubanav shel b'nei b'chor yitlu kach v'kach b'nichsei dvar v'kayamid k'derech shem kayamid b'makom she'en shem b'chor v'chein einenu over b'lav azeh. Like an innovative parshanut chiddush, not the only one, but a very dramatic one, of the Ramban. It says al pnei, and therefore there's no Gemara, there's no Yerushalmi, there's no Medrash Halacha. The din of Layucha Levaker and Yakir, which is anyways just expanded, right, they only apply in the lifetime of the father. Or, I'm sorry, of the Bechor. It would be a question with Ramban. What would say the father died? Would somebody else have that? But let's say, meaning what? The Bechor dies, right? And there's Yerusha Bekebra of the Chelik Bechora. Right? But, the father never... it never tells anybody he's a Bechor. Or he subverts it. So from a Dine Mamanist point of view, right, the Chelek HaBechorah is the same. So what is this? And why is it only in Bechor also? It doesn't have this in Pashur. The Chinuch has it in Pashur. But I think that the answer is that with regard to this, you know, broader question, you know, but also a very specific aspect of it. That's, I'm raising the question and I'm kind of pursuing it. You know, is Nachla about the money? You know, or is it also about, and even the money part is about, you know, relationships and the family structure and disinheriting and what that means and so on and so forth. Okay. But with regard to the question of, like, you know, Yerusha Yeshira, I think that's a part of it. Part of that is, like, Yerusha Bechai. Like, to what extent do we look at people, you know, at this relationship as kind of impending, you know, waiting to happen, or at least having its roots in relationships where the people live? Because the more you look at it in terms of, like, you know, you don't need a kinyan, but this is where the money goes. You know, it's a la'achar misa situation. But before, of course, it's la'achar misa. You know, but what? So you tried to, you didn't succeed, especially if you don't succeed. So you made the effort to subvert Dinei Torah. I mean, who did you victimize? You know, is there a general din in Kol Torah? Kol, it sounds in the beginning like the Ramban was saying, well, you know, in general, leis rishus. Don't try to, you know, change Dinei Torah. Okay. Although, again, probably where that's an Isser in its own right is where there's something more than, you know, just the fact of the change and its impact. I would even say that. Okay. But here, it's more than that. Clearly, this idea of Yaakov, we didn't tell the guy he was a Bechor, not telling him he's a Bechor is also part of the violation of the Aseh. And then, you know, Al Panav, only when he's alive. Right? So this idea, you know, that there's a shame Yorish Mechayim, you know, and again, then you have to figure out, you know, with regard to what. Not so simple. That's already like a specialized part of all of this. It could very well be, you know, that that's true more for Bechor than for Pasha. I think that's what the Ramban is saying. Again, without going into details, something else I wrote a long time ago, but the Torah uses the expression, you know, nasam titain or titain. Matana, Gemara says a bunch of places, matana karya rachmana when it comes to Bechorah. And of course, we know the din. This is like, again, if you want, I can speak about it, but not. Ein nota baroi, ein bechor nota baroi, ke b'muchsak. Like, you could say that's a xeris akasav. But it's connected to matana karya rachmana. In my opinion, at least according to the Ramban, it's connected to this yesod. Meaning, much more so, I would say either exclusively, that's the question, or at least more emphatically, meaning it applies to Pashut on some level, but in a lesser way, but even more so to a Bechor, the idea that there is, that the bond, Mechayim, you know, is what's Koveya, that's a pshat, I believe, in Matana Karya Rachmana. I think that can be demonstrated. And I think that that helps explain many dinim of Ein Bechor Notel Beroy Ke B'muchzak. Like, why can't the Bechor take Beroy? What is Roy B'muchzak in that part of the discussion? The typical case, meaning only things that are, you freeze the assets, you know, at the moment of the death of the father. Anything that comes into the father's estate after his own death is not subject to a chelik b'chor. Like, why not? Yerusha b'kever. There's Yerusha b'kever for b'chor. But if it's about, you know, yakir and lo yuchal levaker and matana kaya rachmana, I can only give you matana mechai. I don't mean that only technically. If it's about, you know, the bond between them, that gets, to some extent, terminated. Shas misaso. So Bechor, even more than Pasha, highlights this idea of a direct handing over of the assets and a Yerusha Mechayim. That's why I once wanted to explain the Shita of the Or Zeruah. I'm not sure if I put this on the Marmakobos or not, but this is, 1 minute, it's a big, big topic. The Gemara and Daf Kufcha Vav on the base, one of the Masna Machakasav Gemaras. So the Gemara says, Misha says, Omer Ish Ploni Bni Bechor Lo Yutol Pishnayim, Ish Ploni Bni Lo Yirash Im Echav, right? Lo Amar Klum. So on. So the Gemara says, Lema Masisin Delok Rabbi Yehuda. Di Rabbi Yehuda Amar Davar Shomamon Tznai Kayim. Netanya Omer Ish Aret Mekudeshes Almanat Shein Lachalai, Sher Ksus Fiona Reza Mekudeshes Tznai Batel. Di Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Davar Shomamon Tznai Kayim. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, right, you should be able to do this. Says the Gemara, "Feel tame Rabbi Yehuda Hasam Yoda v'Kamachla Hacha Lo." The Girsa we have Lo Kamachel. So the Gemara is Mechalek Sherek Susviona Yoda v'Kamachel, and here it's Hacha Lo Kamachel. So the Rashbam says it's pragmatic. Like, what's in it for him? You know, the father's putting him in a difficult, you know, situation. So he goes along with it. Hasam kamachla, sherek susfiona, shomanaskein kibla kiddushin, bayi anoda mekadesh la, machla la. Right? There's still something in it for her. Mekiva de kibla kiddushin, disratzis limcha. Avalacha mi machil, ma'ana yeshla leben, shiimcha. Alf bishashasa kaben, enzu mechila, enarotza lahachis asavim. Okay. The Rashba al Atar says, no, it's fundamental. Not that he doesn't mean it. It means he can't be Mochel because of Dover Shalom Aliolam. And this is, plays out very much in the Rishonim also in Ksuvas Pei Gimel. Again, if I complete this tab, I want to speak about that sugya. Balamor, the Ramban, and the Raivid there, and so on. Is Mechilas Yerusha Mechayim is it a Dover Shalom Baliolam or not? That's a debate between the Rajbam and the Rajbam. Very important. But what's interesting is that the Orzarua, the Gosashri brings it here as well, that the Orzarua, so let's find it quickly, is Mechalek between Pchor and Pashut. The Arzarua, here, Kuf Chavav. Says, "Avon leMachal haBechor beFeirush, have a Mechila, Mishuna Matana Karya Rachmana." That's the Arzarua. Since Bechor Matana Karya Rachmana, so it works. Sounds like in the Orzarua, it works for Bechor. It wouldn't work for Pasha, because Pasha is not Matana Kari Rachmana. What does Matana Kari Rachmana have to do with this question? And Mimanushak. Like, if it's a Davar Shalom Bali Olam, it's a Davar Shalom Bali Olam, and if it's not, it's not. But I think, in light of the Ramban, that the answer is profound, but clear, and that is, a Bechor is notel pishnayim. The Torah says yakir. It says lo yuchal avakir. According to the Ramban, it's all about the shame Bechor mechayim. Ad kedekach, that, you know, if it's not al pnei aviv, there's not even an iser lo yuchal avakir. There's not an assay of yakir. And again, if that is the pshat in ein Bechor notel b'roi kibamuchzak, by the way, which needs to be compared to, like, what about Yibum, where you seem to have, you know, parallel, you know, Baal, are they the same? Or are they same phrase but different meanings? It's also part of the question. But if it really means this, Matana Karya Rachmana, Kol HaShei Yimatzei, and Matana Karya Rachmana, so what we're really saying is when it comes to a Bechor, even more than Pashut, the Shem Yoresh Mechayim, right, he's the Bechor, he's always the Bechor. Okay, you know? He's like always lingering, you know. He's the Yoresh. He's the heir apparent. You know, the expression heir apparent. Does the halacha believe in an heir apparent? Or does everything just begin, you know, la'achar misas hamorish? Right? The Bechor, even more than the Pashut, you know, is an heir apparent. So maybe he can be mochel. Now again, can you be mochel your shame yoresh, your status as bechor? Well, to the extent that, you know, again, at least it's something to hang your hat on, you know, mechayim, that it isn't dover shlo baliola. Can I give up my status? You could say, no, it's just, it's biological and that's the end of it. Or no, since it's novea from something that exists, I could say, you know what, my bechor status not going to trigger, you know, a yerusha. Again, you have to investigate this more, both with regard to pashut and with regard to bechor. But that's why it's al pnei, you know, aviv, you know, al pnei bechor, b'no habechor, meaning if he's no longer alive, so now it's an estate transaction, and the estate was, you know, there's Yerusha Bekever of Yerusha's Bekar. But what you don't have is the Yakir, or the Loichol of Akir, as separate Essen and Lavin. You know, the whole idea of like, oh, you know, you can't hide the fact, you can't not tell him he's a Bekar. What's up to with money? Even it has monetary consequences, but it sounds like it's much more than that. By the way, what I said before is connected to this as well. I mentioned that you know, the idea of Bechor Mileda, the Gemara's in Kokhov Zion, and the idea of Safek Bechor, you know, even if you can be Manav Shachout, each one writes a Shtar Harsha, that's the Gemara, and that's not true for Pashut, until these are special Dinam of Bechor. Okay, some of them are based on Zeres HaKasim, you know, Bechor Mishas Leda, you know, and also with, you know, how early did that, Agmas Nefesh. There are a bunch of nafkamina. Issues have nothing to do with Motzim Mechaver Lavaraya, with the estate. All of them are personal. So the idea that at least in Bechor, you know, there's an aspect of family structure, and even Yerusha Mechayim, or at least Shame, you know, Yoresh Mechayim, is very particularly compelling in Bechor. The question is, you know, once that is the case, you know, okay, so you don't have the fullness of that in Pashut. You don't have it at all in Pashut? Or it's just, again, more moderate in Pashut? Or maybe you don't have, you know, shame, you know, Yoresh Mechayim. Maybe you do, but it's just not manifest or has the same kind of, you know, central, you know, position. Or maybe you don't, but certainly the bigger idea that all of Nachala, maybe to make, you know, Bechor and Pashut so radically, you know, dissonant, you know, to say, oh, that's all about family. This is nothing. It's just, you know, Dine Mominus. It's about cashing a check. Not necessarily. I think that's why the Chinuch, you know, is like really convinced that what, that's why I think psychologically he brings a, you know, he says, oh, the Rambam didn't count the two things of the Ramban. You know, not only do I want to mention that, I'm mentioning that even as I am kind of applying a parallel, you know, to Pashut. So I think it's very interesting. Rashi Nivamos in Samach Beis, where it talks about, you know, the Gemara talks about, you know, Nachala for Benoach. So that's all, you know, is there Nachala to Benoach or not? So like the Rishonim are very bothered, like, well, there's Nachala for Benoach. This is again Kedushin, was it Daf Yud Zayin? So some of the Rishonim, like Rashi, say, yeah, but there's no Bechor, you know, for Ben Noach. Maybe we'll talk more about it again if I have part two. Having the no Bechor le Ben Noach is tantamount like to saying there's no Nachla le Ben Noach. So I always thought, you know, if Bechor is like the apex, it's like, you know, is the symbol of this idea, you know, of Yerusha Mechayim, of the idea that, you know, Yerusha is not just a mechanism that transfers, you know, estate money, or money to an estate, or that bypasses the need for a kinyan. But it's really a din in family, you know, relationships and legacy and continuity, you know, and so on. And so what some of the Rishonim are trying to say is, Ben Noach has Yerusha, there's a way to, you know, for the Torah has a view on how, you know, the money and the property of a non-Jew, you know, will ultimately go down to its heirs, but are they coming up, you know, to stand karadavua, or to, you know, is this something that was already, you know, omeid mechayim? Is there a shem yoresh? The fact that they don't have bechor, which is so much, you know, lo yuchal levaker yakir, you know, al pnei habechor, the fact that they don't have that shows you what they, that the quality of what they have, even in pashut, is, it's like a different, you know, it's mid the bechor nishma la pashut, even though it isn't quite, you know, to that, you know, level of acuity. Oh, I'm going to stop in a minute because I'm really, really over time. But let me get back just for one more minute to the Eretz Yisrael issue. So if that is the case, preliminarily, and there really is a din of, you know, of Yakir, of not trying to disrupt Seder, you know, Nachala, of Havartem, you know, as Nachalaso, like Chinuch has it, I think that it's very conceivable that at least one, even though the Rambam doesn't have, not by Bechor, not by Pasha, you know, an Iser, again, the Chinuch, you know, kind of admits that, but also tries to give him part at least. But at the end of the day, you know, what the Rambam does have is Chukas Mishpat, and this idea that Yerusha, you know, is not simply Nachala. So getting back to what we began with, you know, if you take that perspective, so then the fact that, you know, the Bnei Slavchad came, you know, with this Dvarim Ha'omdim Berumo Shalolam, you know, of course it was Yishuv Ha'aretz. I mean, there's no question about that. And they said, Lama Yigara. Clearly, you know, that part of it was not about Eitz and Vavanim. It wasn't about real estate. That part of it was about Chalukas Ha'aretz, Yishuv Ha'aretz, the Shvatim, and so on. But, you know, Begalgalin, you know, Zchusai DeZakai, you know, they ended up being, this ended up being the source for Dinei Yerusha. You know, most views are, it always was going, you know, the Dinei Yerusha didn't change. That's the same question you have by, you know, by Pesach Sheni. It's a fascinating question. You know, because they asked for it and they said Lama Nigara, so the Rabbanu Shalom, you know, expanded, you know, the opportunity of and maybe even the nature of Korban Pesach, or it's, but it's revealed in this context. I always like to explain about Pesach again. We're going back to last year. You know, we use the Korech Pasuk is the Pasuk of Pesach Sheni, not Pesach Rishon. The Avnei Nezer points this out. He says like he doesn't understand it, but when I saw the question, like I was very excited. Because I think I understand it. The Kares is also only mentioned in Pesach Sheni. Because like Pesach Sheni and Lama Nigara kind of highlighted, you know, whether it created or it highlighted, more likely highlighted, an aspect of Pesach that hitherto, you know, in the first Parsha just wasn't known. Okay. So, again, now we'll move away from Pesach, but I'm raising a kind of a similar kind of, you know, Megalgalin, Chusai De Zakai, but, you know, with an additional, you know, nofech, and that is, you know, what, you couldn't put Parshas Nachala, you know, in Mishpatim, right? Like, why triggered by Bnei Slavchad in the context of all this heady, you know, Kibush Ha'aretz, and Chalukas Ha'aretz, and Yishuva Ha'aretz, and Lama Nigara. Like, you know, we need this. We don't need it financially. You know, how could we be denied, you know, our place in the Shvatim? And of course, that Savas Nachala, you know, becomes understood in a different way, of course. Also, it's not just like, you know, it's a new law, you know, it's a fledgling Klal Yisrael. By the way, there's tremendous Musar Haskel in that, too. You know, we live in a world where all the people are like, you know, if it's mutter, it's mutter. You know, it's a... You know, what do you mean? This, like, the, one of the first clear halachic policy, you know, issues, Asavas Nakala. You know, the first generation, you know, you're going to keep the Shvatim intact. But of course, that's also Lama Nigara. Torah uses that expression there too. Meaning, it's all about, you have to. It's about Chalukas Haaretz, Yishuv Haaretz. So the question is, you know, mid the you know, Yishuv Ha'aretz part, maybe also Nishma, you know, the second half, the real Parsha, which is here, Dafka here in this context. You could say, oh, it's like, you know, after, it's not Chukas Mishpat, Chukas Mishpat is Yishuva Aretz. And that's the Ramban's comment. No, no. Even the nitty-gritty individual, you know, metaltalin, chutzlaretz, even that is chukas mishpat. And if it's the Rambam's chukas mishpat, you know, and the chinuch's, you know, vavartem, you know, it's defying dine mamonis in a way. The answer is that context is deliberate. So again, just to take another couple of minutes on that, just and then this will conclude, the idea that Chulukos Haaretz, of course, is more than Dini Maminis, you know, is obvious, but I think it also touches on a bunch of things that these first sugyas speak about. The Al-Yidei Goral and the Umar Metumim, the Sugya Bal Basar, Kufcha Beisim and Aleph, just food for thought. The identification of the borders in Sefer Yehoshua, you know, the famous Gemara in the Darim. Gemara says in the Darim, Chabesim at base, that il male chatu Yisrael, right? Lo nitan lahem, el chamishachum she Torah bilvad, v'sefer Yoshua bilvad, she erka shel Eretz Yisraeli. So, wow, I mean, Sefer Yoshua would have been unique among Sifrei Tanakh to be part of the original together with chamishachum she Torah because of the boundaries, just a way of dividing up the land. But clearly not. Clearly, it has to do with Kedushas Yisrael and Kedushas Yishuva Aretz and the relationship of the Shvatim, you know, all these things. And for that reason, it's also understandable why, you know, it wasn't applicable, as the Gemara says in Bava Basra here, Kuf Yud Zayin Omid Aleph, to Tefalim. Right? The Shior, and try to figure out was Ben Chavshana. Ben Chavshana is the age of national, you know, reckoning or national service. That's, you know, for the Pikudim, and that's for the Tzava. You know, it even has, you know, significance in terms of Onshim, probably because of things like Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh, right? So, no, I mean, dividing up Eretz Yisrael and its Yerusha, the paradigm Yerusha case, is Davar Ha'omei Berumo Shalolam. It's a national Yishuva Aretz, Shvatim structure thing. So the Meraglim and Kalev and Yoshua, you know, the Meraglim lost their portions to Kalev and Yoshua, you know, and Adas Korach and the Misonanim. So you could say, although there are just like, you know, Onshim, you know, Shaloye Chote Niskar, those kind of things. But I think, you know, more likely because there's a real recognition that original Yerusha is a din in Klal Yisrael, you know, and they betrayed Klal Yisrael, particularly the Meraglim. The whole idea of Shemitah V'Yovel, which impacts on Yerusha Sa'aretz, Nachala Sa'aretz, you know, Yovel to keep it, you know, Chazara to the you know, to the original, you know, division, or how that original division, anyways, subsequently develops, and Shemitah, which we're, you know, commemorating right now, we're observing, not we so much, but is being observed, which is more about seemingly, you know, losing the individual, you know, bailus over our Nachla and Eretz Yisrael, over a person's individual. I think a very important way to understand them is, again, to see them as flowing from, issuing from, Chalukas Haaretz, you know, not as just a way of getting everybody some money and some real estate, you know, location, 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 but a way of structuring Klal Yisrael itself. And I've often said that Shemitah, people focus in Shemitah, this is a separate topic, very much, and it's true. And, you know, Kili Haaretz, the Rabbanu Sholem's Bailus, every 7 years you have to curtail your ownership because the Rabbanu Sholem owns the land, 100%. But I think it's more than that. There's a lot of evidence, you know, that the status of individual ownership in the Shemitah year, again, a topic in its own right, is not so much, you know, like a din of Hefker, it's the parallel to Hefker, but it's really a return to the collective ownership of Klal Yisrael. It's really like before Yerusha, Yeshiva, and Chalukah. And there are differences in terms of, you know, Gzeres HaKasuvs, to be potem mitrumas and maisras, and, you know, other things, tsnuin, and, you know, other kind of things. It's more about, you know, you have individual ownership, but it all belongs to Klal Yisrael. And that's part of the story of Chalukas Haaretz, the paradigm and first act of Yerusha. Very important. Hasagas Gvul in Eretz Yisrael. You know, Hasagas Gvul is limited to Eretz Yisrael. Because, again, it's not just prime real estate. You know, in addition to ownership, you know, it's a violation of, you know, an aspect of you know, your expression of being a member of Klal Yisrael and having certain rights. So in the Gemara, and Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph and Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis has a whole discussion whether Yerusha Sa'aretz is determined by Yotze Mitzrayim or by Haaretz or both, right? It's a very fascinating issue, really, because each position kind of accentuates what we're talking about. Again, these are topics in their own right, but just very briefly. If you're talking about Yotze Mitzrayim, even though Befoal, you know, they are not the ones who are receiving Eretz. It's fascinating that the paradigm case of Yerusha, you know, that the players, the Mechayvim, are the people who are not Yoresh. Right? They're just structurally there. And the need to say, yes, Eretz Yisrael Muchzekasi Me'avosenu, because otherwise, when it comes to Chelek HaBechora, you'd have the problem of Ein Bechor Notel Beroi Kibamuchzak. So it's, you know, it's not just a melitza and a good drasha when you say, you know, Eretz Yisrael Muchzekasi Me'avosenu, right? This is really consequential. Kol Asher Yimatzei. It's a halachic category. Now that, of course, there's no befoal, there's no money changing hands, there's no karka changing hands, no one's, you know, taxes are going up because he's in a higher bracket. You know, there's no disbursement. This is all about the structure of Klal Yisrael. And if you're talking about Bai Haaretz, so the Gemara says, Mishuna Nachlazu, Mikol Nachlaz Sheba Olam, because typically Chayim Yorshim is a Mesim, but Kan Mesim Yorshim is a Chayim. That's a very, we need to understand that better in terms of its implications, but it's a very, it's fraught with meaning, for sure. And Rav Shimon Elazar seems to say, you know, Bazeo Bazeo, you can have both Mechayim. So let's say you have somebody who spans both. He's one of the Yotzei Mitzrayim in the Bai Haaretz. He gets two Chalak, according to some Rishon. Right? It doesn't make sense if we're talking about just, you know, dividing up the land to people. Right? Yotzei Mitzrayim Bai Haaretz are two different Mechayim in that. So when the Gemara discusses, you know, whether Eretz Yisrael was nischalek al pi shvatim, the shvatim iflug, or le karkev de gavre iflug, you know, which ends up, you know, continuing to be an argument between Rashi and Ramban, you know, in Bereishis, you know, Mem Chesvav and Bamidbar, Chafav Mendal, and a few other echoes of it. I think both shitas are quite remarkable. No. The Ramban actually holds that we, lahalacha, that you break it up lefi shvatim. That means you give unequal parts to individuals in each shevet in order to accentuate that this is a Yerusha of shvatim. Very remarkable thing. But even according to Rashi, where you break it up according to individual portions, in the end of the day, you still have to account for the psukim. Right, la rav tarben nachlaso la ma'at tamit nachlaso. Right, in the end of the day, there has to be a chalos yerushas shvatim. Right, otherwise the whole thing doesn't make any sense. Like, so why, if every individual is getting, you know, the same amount, Like, you know, why do you say, oh, you know, the most populated Shevet, you know, they're twice as big, they get the double portion. Why not just say every individual gets, you know, they go here in this direction, that direction, with the location, and every individual gets his portion. But this idea that there's a chalos, chalukas, hashvatim, even though there's no nafkamina, you know, in the size for the individual, you know, is very, not economically important, but it's important for chalukas and nachalas haaretz, you know, as a din in yishuv haaretz, in the same way that other expressions of chalos, shevet, you know, like the Ramban and shoftim, shoftim, tit nechabachal sharecha, right? Asher Hashem elokecha noseh nechal lishvatecha. So Ramban says, every shevet has its own supreme court. It works in nicely with some of the Horios Gemaras also, of course, but Ramban says, oh, there's a supreme court for the Jewish people, there's a supreme court for a shevet. Other things like that as well. I mean, this idea of continuing, you know, to cling, you know, to that structure is very important for Klal Yisrael's character. So I just want to finish with this. But this is, I once wanted to suggest, this might be the answer, you know, to the Rambam's question. The Rambam in Hilchos Ishus, is the Rambam in Hilchos Ishus somewhere? I had it before, I'm pretty sure. Ah, here it is. Perek Vav, Halacha Yudalid. So the Rambam speaks about, you know, that's the Rambam. The Rambam has two places where he talks about Mishpatei Tznoim. One is here in Vav of Hilchos Ishus, and the other is, of course, in Perek Gimel, Hilchos Chiya Umatana. He talks about, you know, the sugyas in the third parak of Kiddushin and some parak of Gittin. So in Hilchos Ishus, the Rambam says, he quotes the position of the Gaonim. Yesh miktsas Gaonim achronim she'omru she'en adam tzarech lichbal tno ela begitim kiddushin bavad. Aval dine mamon ein adam tzarech lichbal. Like in Choshen Mishpat, you don't need to... you know, the Mishpatei Tznoim, Hein Kon Malav, Keflat Tnai, all these things are not ma'akev. The Ein Roy Lismach Al Davar Zeh, says the Rambam, he disagrees. Shekfelas At Tnaim, Shar Ha'arba Dvarim, Bitznai B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvain, Lomdo Osun Chachamim, Im Yavru B'nei Gad, Im Lo Yavru, Utnai Zeh, Lo Ya Lo Begitim V'lo Bekidushim, V'kazeh Horu G'dolei HaGaonim, Arishonim V'chein Roy, Lassos. So the Rambam says, I don't understand what they're talking about. Right? You know, the paradigm case is Bnei Gad Bnei Ruvain, Chalukas Haaretz, and Chalukas Haaretz is Dinei Mamonos, or at least it's not Gittin V'Kiddushin anyway. Right? We could all agree on that. So the Rambam says, Omar Avram, Kvar Kasavnu, Hatam, B'Sefer Mishpatim, Kedivrei HaAchronim, that this is the defense of the Rambam, that in Hilchos Zechia, Umatana, Paragimel, you know, famously, this is the famous, you know, Ravid, where the Ravid tries to explain why should you distinguish between, you know, Dine Mamonos and Ishus. The Rambam, the Ravid explains, you know, that in Dine Mamonos, kind of everything is up for grabs. It's about, you know, money. So the conditions are critical. You know, when it comes to Ishus, a very important yisod, at least it's very idealistic, it should be this way. So who are you going to marry? Not you are going to marry, not going to marry. Well, it really depends on the $200. Right? That's a lever. That's, you know, that's a fringe benefit. You're in a strong position. You can also, you know, extort a little more money one way or another. But it's not your das, the kadesh, or the garish. It doesn't depend on halavai. On the Masayim, that's the Ravid's famous Yisod. Omar Vam Alpha Pishain Rai Ladavar, Zech Ladavar, Vitam Goda Ladavar, this parent Gimel Halacha Zion. Echi Tachain, Zem Mokhra Karko, Nosno, Vyomer, Eni Mokhro, Elim Ken Yasali Kach Vakach, Venotio Samiado, Velo Asamasha Hisnod, and Dine Mamanis, the guy said, I'm only willing to do it under these conditions. And you're saying, oh, he didn't. You know, cross his T's and dot his I's, you know, so forget about the condition. But he only wanted under these conditions. As there, the T'nai integrates into the Das. Kavagitim v'kedushin, omdin daitanu, mikivin shenosan daf elagarish al kaddish einat tznoim ela kemaflig bedvarim bekiruv adas richa kadas ein tam moel balarachik al kariv elam kein chizko bekvelo. There's still two ways probably to understand the rabbit, but okay. Then he says bechalin yonim shenispar shubo ki kula minam chizuk atnai heim bin tavin. Then he adds v'nachlas b'nei God b'nei Reuven lo haisa mukzekes b'yad Yisrael. That's his answer to the Rambam's question. So I'm not quite sure. It's very gnomic, very brief. I don't know exactly what the Rambam has in mind. I think there are two possibilities. Either he means in a more technical way. Listen, if, you know, when it comes to a typical Dine Mominis case, so the, you know, the devil is in the details, you know. So if I'm going to get an extra $100 or some other incentive clause, that puts me over the top in terms of das, right? As opposed to issues, where, like, you know, the one question is, do I want to get married? Do I want to get divorced? The other is, like, you know, can I leverage, you know, my position, you know, for a greater, you know, gain? And that's where the tnai, what some people call tnai milsa achriti, you know, type of mentality. Oh. But when it comes to chalukas ha'aretz, you know, we're talking about inside Begot Meruve, we're talking about before, they weren't getting the money right away. You know, so the idea that, you know, the details are going to be perceived as, you know, part of the das, you know, that's more questionable. Maybe it's more, you don't need ishus, maybe it's just not regular mominus. Not concrete, it's not a la peric right now. Maybe that's what the rabbi means. I always thought maybe it was trying to say it was something else. And either way, even if he doesn't mean it, I think that this is the answer to the Rambam's question. And that is what we've been saying, which is, when it comes to chalukas ha'aretz, it's not dinim ominous. Of course, it's not ishus. But it's not dinim ominous either. It's kedushas ha'aretz, and it's yishuv ha'aretz, and it's the structure of the shvatim. So there's a lot at stake here. This is not about, you know, a little more of a prophet, less of a prophet. Maybe that's what the Ravid means by saying, you know, it's not like befoal they're getting the land right now. You know, the whole idea is that they're, you know, negotiating, you know, the legacy and the destiny of Chalukas Haaretz. And B'nei God and B'nei Reuven are trying, you know, to kind of reformulate, you know, that whole structure. And, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu is negotiating. That's a negotiation about the structure of Klal Yisrael, basically. And therefore, like Gittin v'Kiddushin, it's a situation where the Tznai is not Milsei, where the Tznai is Milsei Achriti. It's not about dollars and cents. But if that's the case, again, I think that is certainly true about Yishuv Haaretz. Rambam didn't see it that way, maybe because he thought Yishuv's shining. I don't know. Or that there's still enough mamon, you know, on the B'nei God or B'nei Reuven side. It's hard to know in light of this, what the Rambam had in mind. But this idea, just getting back to the beginning with this, I conclude for today, this idea that the Parsha, you know, of personal Yerusha, you know, is an addendum, you know, to Chalukas Haaretz, which certainly is all about, you know, Yoredeya, Yisr V'Heter, Kedushas Haaretz, you know, Kedushas Klal Yisrael, may in fact really reflect, you know, especially through Chukas Mishpat and Vahavartem, and the idea that there are, you know, different even levels within Yerusha itself, you know, whether it's, you know, Bein and then Bein and Bas and then, you know, vertical Yerusha and then possibly Shem Yoresh and direct relationships, even when they're horizontal, frankly. And then Mishmush, and then the Chinuch's idea of Mishmush, you know, of Dveikus, and the absence of the need for Kinyanim, you know. So, of course, it's not Chalukas Haaretz, but like Ramban says, and therefore you could have thought, you know, that these are two different Parshios. But maybe it is. Maybe it is one Parsha. Not because there aren't some differences, but because the overlap, in terms of this being about more than Dini Mominus, but being about, you know, family structure, family destiny, family continuity, etc., is really a part of the essence of Yerusha. So when we continue this, I want to elaborate a little more on some of the issues of Tanai, not exhaustively because they're massive, but at least talk about the Gemara in Ksuvos and Pegim and so on, and a few other Gemaras, and then also speak more specifically about some of the models, Ben, Bas, brothers, Mishpachas Ha'em, a little bit, grandparents, as I mentioned, just like to highlight a little bit, some of these relationships. Okay, so at least we've begun. You agree that we've begun?
Yes, sir.
You agree that we've begun?
Yes. We have a recorded part.